As the Quran says, ذَلِكَ بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ يَدَاكَ. This is the what your hands had sent forth for you. And the soul is shaped by that. After the soul is molded and shaped, whatever decision we take, you know, this is our experience in this world. Whatever decision we take, whatever choice we make, our likes and dislikes are all determined by that shape of the soul. And that's why as we become older and older, it will become more difficult to change, to make a sudden change in our lives or in our attitude or whatever. And this will become much more difficult after we die. And in fact, you shouldn't think that Allah can just change your destiny after you die. No, it's your soul which wills to go to a place, wishes to be with certain group, and does not wish to be with other groups. The souls, this inshallah we'll discuss later on when we talk about the social life in Barzakh, the souls will find each other. Good souls go to good companies, evil souls go to evil companies. The Quran calls this mold or shape of the soul shakala. Shakala is from shakl, which means form. Shakala is a character which is formed due to certain behavior. Like your character is formed, and shakl means form. Shakala is from that, and we have this very beautiful verse in the Quran. قُلْ كُلٌّ يَعْمَلُ عَلَىٰ شَاكَلَتِهِ. In Surah Isra, say everyone acts according to his character. Now, of course, this is very obvious. Everyone acts according to his character or shakala. However, this is not only in this world. This is in the next world as well. You have free will in next world. Some say that even you have free will to go to paradise or to go to hell. However, you do not choose paradise because you cannot go there. You do not enjoy it because that is not the type of character that you have molded for yourself. Allah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيْسَ بِذَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ. Allah does not want to wrong you. And we will say, inshallah, when these angels who come to question us in the grave, if we see them, because most of us do not see them, if we see them, what they want to do, they want to guide us. And some of us do not want to listen. And just their preaching becomes very boring and very torturous, like my preaching. Very boring. We don't want to listen to them. We become deaf to whatever they say, and they cannot do anything. They cannot do anything about it. Anyhow, everyone acts according to his character. Here, in the world to come and on the moment of death. And before death. I mean, when we know that we are going to die. And when on the moment of death. And then afterwards we act according to our character. Shakala. This is true, of course, both in this world and in the next. And on the moment of death, as I mentioned here. To change this character is of course possible while we still live in this world, but is out of our hands when we die. It's God's work. And that's why most of the people, the majority, they don't know whether they go to hell or they go to paradise until they go to the last final judgment. Because their characters are not finally worked out yet. Allah would work on it. The angels would work on it to make it qualified to go to paradise. But they still don't know whether this will work or it wouldn't work. The angels still don't know. The people don't know. And that's the meaning of the hadith of Amirul Mu'min alayhi salam. When he was asked about it, he said, it is either the good news of everlasting paradise on the moment of death for those whose characters are shaped correctly, or the bad news are eternal fire for those whose characters are completely shaped as evil. But the majority who are in the middle, إِمَّا تَحْوِيلٌ وَتَحْزِينٌ وَأَمْرٌ مُبْحَمٌ. It's a confused thing. No one knows what will happen. Allah will work on this character, the angels, of course, to make it qualified for paradise. However, in majority of cases, they will become qualified. But for a minority, they have eventually will go to hell or will choose to go to hell. Now that change, which will come after we die, has its own mechanism. It's not in our hand anymore. When we die, that's the end of our actions. Of course, we act in Barzakh, we act in Paradise, but those actions are not calculated for us in the final judgment. We act according to our character. كُلٌّ يَعْمَلُ عَلَى شَاكَلَتَهِ Everyone would act according to his shakala or her shakala. That's what we do, but then we are not accountable for what we do there, or they are not counted. So what we take with us from this world is that shakala, or the soul personality. Every soul has a personality. And we take that personality with us, which is the shakala of, well, I'm using this term because this is used in the Quran, shakala. But it has come now. Yeah, one more. Okay. I think you have gone a bit fast. Previous slide, please. Okay, I'll do that. Thank you. So in the course of the long journey towards God, this personality would see itself in the mirror of many different stages and worlds. Why we should go in 50 different types of stages after we die? Because this soul should become complete when it wants to go to paradise or when it wants to go to hell. So this soul, this personality would know itself in different worlds and different stages and will experience its own inner qualities. The way every soul, and this is actually when God says, we will give you your actions in full. Every person will be given their actions in full. It means that your acts will go through all these stages. You will experience whatever you have done accordingly in every stage. So that eventually you come to that maturity to know, first of all, يَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْحَقُّ الْمُبِينَ Allah is the haq. And secondly, you know what you deserve. The way every soul is treated by the creatures of each stage is also determined by that shakala. A personality that could be hateful or lovable, even to themselves. Even some souls hate themselves. Some souls love themselves. They are pleased with themselves. Not in a bad way, of course, in a good way. Not being self-conceited or mu'jib. The soul will receive the grace in all future stages according to its capacity. Again, the grace of God is everywhere. In all stages, the grace is there. However, the important thing is that how much your soul can take. That's the most important. And in all these stages, the soul takes some grace, which is capable of taking, to become mature. According to his shakala, again. And look at these verses. Allah says, I do not stop anyone taking anything, whatever they want. Man kana yuridu al-ajala, ajjalna lahu fiha ma nasha'u liman nurid. Whoever desires this transitory life, we expedite for him therein as he has done. Of course, there is wisdom who bars some people, but if someone really wishes the pleasures of this world, they can attain it usually. And if someone likes akhirah, وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةِ وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَهَا وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ سَعْيُهُمْ مَشْكُورًا Whoever desires the hereafter and strives for it with an endeavor worthy of it Should he be faithful, the endeavors of such will be well appreciated to these and to those. Now take this to all stages. To these and to those who want dunya, those who want akhirah, to all we extend the bounty of your Lord. And the bounty of your Lord is not confined, is not restricted. Restrictions come from us. The process of death and what goes before and after it is also fashioned by this shakala. Okay, we forego this verse because we have a lot to discuss. The moment of death and what goes before it is one of those crucial moments which exposes this character. Now, you remember we talked in our first session about Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, the five stages of grief before death. You remember that? She has written on death and dying. She defines five psychological stages before death. We said it's da bi da. Now, the first stage is denial, then anger, bargaining, depression, acceptance. Now, why I'm mentioning this? Because again, these stages come according to the character of people. And not only scientific experience, experiments show it, but we know from our faith that these are different. Now, the first stage, which is denial of the, if you hear that you are going to die, if you have a terminal illness, actually all these have been experimented on people who had a terminal illness. That means they were told that you are going to die. The first thing is denial. Usually only a temporary defense. I feel fine. This can't be happening to me. It's going to be well. The doctors say something. They don't know anything. We try to somehow ease the situation for ourselves. Then comes anger. After the doctors say, no, you are really going to die. Then comes, why? Why me? Why God? At this stage of my age, I'm still young, I have still got time, something like that. Gradually, the individual realizes that denial cannot continue. It is hence replaced by a sense of anger accompanied by jealousy towards any individual having the privilege of life. I mean, we feel jealous. Well, when I say we, I mean those who have been experimented upon. Why me? It's not fair. How can this happen to me? After that comes bargaining. The individual tries to postpone or delay death by negotiating for an extended life with a higher power in exchange for a reformed lifestyle. Just let me live to see my children graduate. I'll do anything for a few more years. Or something like that. Bargain. I'll become a good person after this. I'll give such and such to charity, for example. Then depression. After that doesn't work, comes depression. The dying person begins to understand the certainty of death. Thus the individual may become silent, refuse visitors, and so on and so forth. I'm going to die. What's the point? I miss my loved ones. And then the final stage is acceptance. When they begin to come to terms with it, it's going to be okay. I can't fight it. Now, these, of course, are the sort of feelings which they have found with their patients. However, we know for a believer, for a true believer, not for a traditional believer, someone who believes by traditions, someone whose heart faith has established, they don't fear death. They don't feel that this is something that they have to be worried about. So because these experiments have been actually done on people with average type of faith or with no faith at all. Now, Kubler-Ross notified that these stages may not necessarily come in the above order, nor are all stages experienced by all patients. In fact, all these may be according to the shakala of those testets, the character of those testets, i.e., ordinary people with those tested, ordinary people with little or no faith. People with a stronger faith may act in a completely different way. Just take the example of Amirul Mu'minin, Fustu wa Rabbil Ka'bah, when he was struck, he says, by the Lord of Ka'aba, I succeeded to get what I wanted. Of course, that was to go close to God. Santrok has shown that a dying individual's attitude to death is linked to the amount of meaning and purpose a person has found throughout his life. This is obvious as well to us. Of course, now these are established by scientific research, that the more you give purpose to your life, the easier you accept death. A study of 160 people with less than 3 months to live showed that those who felt they understood their purpose in life or found a special meaning faced less fear and despair in the final weeks of their lives than those who had not. Now, if someone is really faithful, what would they experience? Just joy. Just that they have completed their dutiful life and now they want to leave to a better world. In this and similar studies, spirituality helped dying individuals deal with the depression stage more aggressively than those who were not spiritual. Now, why I have mentioned this, these are stages before death. The moment of death is the same as well. Of course, we cannot make any experiment about the moment of death because there people are out of our hands. Would be the same. The more spiritual you are, the easier the death will be. Now, how do we know it? We know it from traditions. We know it from verses of the Quran. So, for the moment of death, we have different categories of people. A great number of people do not experience the angel of death. Now you may say, how is it possible? Yeah, the angel of death, of course, goes to them and takes their soul, but they do not feel it. They don't realize who did it, how they have just thrown into a new world. They don't realize. So they do not experience the angel of death. So you shouldn't be terrified from angel of death. Angel of death, as I said, is like a midwife taking our soul, making it easier for us to leave this world. And if we do not feel or experience him, so much the better. We are just thrown into a new, more wonderful world. What about the questioning of the grave? Su'al al-Ghabr. No. They are not up to the level. That's very important. They are not up to the level to experience questioning in the grave. Now, who is up to the levels? If you are really, really good, you are up to the level to experience this questioning of the grave. Or, if you are really evil, you are up to the level. Because you have a strong character. And because you have a strong character, then of course the angels, you will feel them. They will come to you. And the questioning will take place. Now, of course, we talk about this questioning of the grave later and why the very good ones and the very evil ones, they have this questioning. Ordinary people, they don't have it. We'll explain it later. Just wanted to mention that not everything is experienced by everyone. So again, good news. We go to our graves without actually having anyone questioning us or bothering us. Just fruits and drinks and food will come to us and we eat. I don't know what's happening until the day of judgment comes. And the like, many things which people in Barzakh, which we'll just speak about later on, experience, majority of the people, they do not experience. Now you may say, how do you know? Well, I don't know, I've read it just as the traditions or as verses of the Quran. Some will gradually are initiated to the world of Barzakh. Initially they don't understand, but gradually they realize that what has happened and where they are now. Some don't really think that their worlds are changed. And when they, for example, they see something extraordinary, they become very much amazed. What has happened? Why these things operate in this way, for example? A big number, on the other hand, will experience the angel of death. Now we want to talk about these people who experience the angel of death, not those who do not experience. Of course, I hope all of you will experience the angel of death, because for the faithful it's good. If a faithful person does not experience the angel of death, it's not a good sign. It's not a good sign. If you experience angel of death, because the angel of death and the angels accompanying him, they are very lovable. You will feel that. And they are very helpful to you and to the growth of your soul. The angel of death, wow, this is so small, is the first creation from the other world that communicates with the deceased soul. Isn't that so? The first creature from the other world. Because it's only after we experience the angel of death when we go to that world, wonderful world, and we will experience all those wonderful creatures there. The first mirror in which the soul can see itself in it, the shakala. Now, why I say it's mirror? Because, as I said, you die the way you live. You see the angel of death the way your character is. It's just like a mirror, reflects your own character. And that's why it may be very, very terrifying, or it may be very, very nice and beautiful, depending how your character has been. Hence, according to the character of the deceased, it can be beautiful or ugly. It can be kind or cruel. Well, he actually can be lovable or hateful. And look at this hadith reported from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. One day, Ibrahim, going to his house, saw a very handsome person, like of whom he had never seen before. "Who are you?" he said. "I am the angel of death," he replied. Why Ibrahim on that moment saw the angel of death, we don't know. I mean, the world of angels is a very weird type of world. We do not know how they appear, why they appear to some people like the prophet. Anyhow, Ibrahim says, "Subhanallah, who may detest seeing you while you are so beautiful?" He replied, "O Khalilur Rahman, when Allah wishes well for a servant, he sends me to them in this form. And if he wishes evil for a servant, he sends me to them in a different form." And of course, Allah does not wish good or evil just precariously. It's again because of the character, which the angel of death changes form, or there may be different groups of angels who go, because there are some angels who cannot go to evil people. Allah cannot force them to do it because they are not created in that way. There are some angels who have to deal with evil people, like the angels of hell, for example. Anyhow, we may have different feelings when we are leaving this world. The aides who help the angel of death may receive our soul gently and softly, with a harsh and cruel manner. On our departure, we may feel that we are released, set free from a prison, or we may feel that we are arrested and are taken to a prison. Again, it depends very much on how we have lived, on the shakala. All these depend on the way that we have lived, pure or pervert, kind or cruel, grateful or unappreciative, hopeful or despondent, All these would actually determine how we will see the angel of death. Now, look at this verse. أَلَّذِينَ تَتَوَفَّاهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ طَيِّبِينَ يَقُولُونَ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ أُدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. Those whom the angels take away while they are pure. Now, this we cannot deny anymore because this is a verse from the Quran. They say, the angels tell them, peace be to you. Enter paradise because of what you used to do. Now, this enter paradise means that you will enter paradise. They give them the good news that you will enter paradise. So, these angels are very kind. They greet the newcomers with nice words. But, وَلَوْ تَرَىٰ إِذْ يَتَوَفَّى الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا الْمَلَائِكَةِ يَضْرِبُونَ وُجُوهَهُمْ وَأَدْبَارَهُمْ وَذُوقُوا عَذَابَ الْحَرِيقِ. When you, were you to see when the angels take away the faithless, striking their faces and their backs, saying, taste the punishment of the burning. Again, this is the moment of death. Two different types of treatment you will see. Upon entering the world of angels, we enter into the world of purities. Now, why this sort of discomfort comes for some souls? Why the angels look very harsh, very dim and angry? Because we enter the world of purities and we are evil. There will be a friction between evil and good, between purity and impurity. And that is painful for the evil person. We enter into the realm of haq, and if the soul is evil, an unpleasant friction will take place. The stronger this friction between good and evil, the more painful and more burning this experience will be. And as we draw closer to God, this on this journey, friction becomes more and more painful. And that's why the more we go forward on the way in this journey for the kuffar, this journey will become more painful. And the experience will become less tolerable. On the other hand, if the soul is pure, the experience will be magnificent and breathtaking. Because now purity meets purity. And the pure current of the world, of that world, will take the pure soul higher and higher. And the soul would feel increasingly intimate and familiar with that world. It becomes their home, their place, that of course they cannot wish to live until to the next stage, which is paradise. Hence, not all souls will have the same type of experience when they enter the new dimension in which the angels live. Now, for the ungrateful, when they enter that world, there is no good news. يَوْمَ يَرَوْنَ الْمَلَائِكَةَ لَا بُشْرَى يَوْمَ إِذٍ لِلْمُجْرِمِينَ وَيَقُولُونَ حِجْرًا مَحْجُورًا. The day when they see the angels, there will be no good news for the guilty that day, and they will say, keep off, away to the angels. They see these pure and perfect creatures as their enemies and are ashamed of the way they are seen by these creatures. The pure ones, however, would find these creatures as their new friends, helpers, and guides. And this is what these angels actually tell to them, that we are your friends. Very kind, very gentle, and friends which are full of wisdom and knowledge. And one very remarkable aspect of these angels is the wisdom that they show to the deceased soul. Look at this verse. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمْ مَلَائِكَةٌ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوَعَدُونَ Indeed, those who say our Lord is Allah and then remain steadfast, the angels descend upon them saying, do not fear nor be grieved. These are the angels of death and those who accompany them. Receive the good news of the paradise which you have been promised. Now, we'll see all these in traditions, inshallah. Therefore, the death for the pure and for the impure are two completely different types of experiences. Now, for the pure, look at some traditions. How the death is described for the pure. It feels like breathing in the finest fragrance they have ever experienced. It fills them with such a joy that removes all pain and suffering from them. This is a hadith. للمؤمن from Imam al-Sadiq عليه السلام كَأَطْيَبِ رِيحٍ يَشُمُّهُ فَيَنْعَصُ لِتِيبِهِ وَيَنْقَطِعُ التَّعَبُ وَالْأَلَمُ كُلُّهُ عَنْ Just the translation is up there. It's not an exaggeration. It just feels like that. The death. It feels like taking off one's filthy and ragged clothes and becoming free from heavy shackles and putting on the most splendid and the best perfumed dress. Again, from Imam Zain al-Abidin, قيل لعلي بن الحسين عليه السلام ما الموت? What is death? He said, للمؤمن كنزع ثياب وسفخة قملة. For mu'min is just like taking off filthy and ragged clothes. فك قيود وأغلال ثقيلة, taking off the shackles, heavy shackles of one's shoulder. والاستبدال بأفخر الثياب وأطيبها روائح. Just the same thing as I mentioned. So for mu'min, who's a mu'min? Who's a mu'min? You are mu'min, aren't you? So probably most of you, inshallah, if you pray on time, if you don't backbite, if you do not do zulm and all these things because you are mu'minun, you will have this type of experience on the moment of death. And we do not expect from the merciful God anything less than this, do we? I mean, that's the most difficult point, moment of everyone's life. And this is the hope that we have, that inshallah Allah will make us qualified to this type of experience. That is when you will like that this moment of death is prolonged until the day of judgment. Because it feels very, very pleasant. However, what comes after it is more pleasant than this. Therefore, don't hurry. And inshallah, when you are on your moment of death after 100 years, don't wish it be prolonged, because what comes after is better. It feels like taking a bath to wash away all the filth, pain, injury and pus from the body, like freeing the soul from all depression and stress and filling it with exciting joy and happiness, like the bathing of Ayyub alayhi salam, that's washed away all the injuries from him. Urkud birajlik hada muhtasalun baridun wa sharab, just like a spring that he washed himself all the injuries and pains from his body. Again, this is the hadith. Of course, it's a long hadith, but the meaning is that. The meaning is that. That when Imam Al-Hadi alayhi salam visited someone who was on the deathbed, very, very concerned, and he told him, you don't know what death is. That's why you are terrified. If you know what is death, you will not be terrified. And then he explained, this is the way death will feel. So do not be worried. And then the person was somehow comforted and passed away in peace. And finally, it's like setting the baby free from the darkness of the womb to the thrilling expanse of this world. Again, this is the expression the Prophet, peace be on him, used. مَا شَبَّحْتُ خُرُوجَ الْمُؤْمِنِ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا إلا مثل خروج السبي من بطن أمه من ذلك الغم والظلم إلى روح الدنيا. I do not make simile between for death, between the departure from this world of mu'min. I make it similar or give the simile between that and when the baby comes out of the darkness of the womb. This was from Kanzul Ummah, the Sunni source. Death. Now, of course, there's more to this. It's not only these pleasant feelings. It's just like a very, very glorious ceremony in which thousands of angels take part. They are invited to this ceremonious sort of event, that is departure of the soul of a mu'min from this world to the next. It's an honorable event. The angel of death comes to him like a humble servant, not like a sort of authoritative person coming to take the soul. Comes like a humble servant greeting him and giving him the good tidings of the paradise. Again, إِنَّ مَلَكَ الْمَوْتِ لَيَقِفْ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِ عِنْدَ مَوْتِهِ مَوْقِفَ الْعَبْدِ الذَّلِيلِ مِنَ الْمَوْلَى فيقوم وأصحابه لا يدنو من حتى يبدأه بالتسليم ويبشره بالجنة. They do not come close before they greet him. They tell him, do not worry, you are going to go to paradise. Now I am going to facilitate that. So what a kind sort of creature this is going to be. The row of angels await him with cups filled with kawthar. Now you may say, this is long, long away. No, it's not. The moment of death, they will come. As I said, it's a ceremony. It's a ceremony to take you to the new world of God. So the row of angels await him with cups filled with kawthar and from the purifying wine of paradise to drink away all the hardship and stoppers of death. They tell him, how nice, you have become pure. And your place is purified because of you. You are arriving at a God who is powerful and wise and lovable and close, actually consoling the new. Again, this is what the translation of hadith from the Prophet, peace be on him. They tell him, now of course I can go on and go on, but I make it really short. They tell him, welcome, O friend of God. God is pleased with you, so much so that he has even forgiven all those who took part in your funeral. Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing, isn't it? Because of you, because of your honor, God has forgiven them. Again, this translation of that hadith. At this stage, all sorrow and pain leaves his soul. And then they open all dimensions of time and place to his eyes to show him his place in paradise, a place which is still far, far away. But they show him. They say, look, it's not the time yet, but you are going there. At this stage, the soul seeks permission to come back and to inform his loved ones of the blessings of that world. But they are told kindly that this is not possible. And we have this in the Quran. Well, this is the hadith, but in the Quran as well. وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يَرْزُقُونَ. Do not suppose those who are killed in the way of God, they are dead, they are alive, they are being nourished by God. They seek to come back out of happiness and joy that Allah has given them. They seek to come back and inform their relatives what they are experiencing, but of course they cannot come. يَسْتَبْشِرُونَ بِنِعْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَفَاتٍ. They want to inform their relatives of the grace and bounty of Allah, but they cannot do it, of course. Sometimes I have heard from many people that some of the shuhada have come to the dreams of their relatives and have said that, for example, tell my mother I'm really okay, I'm living in a very good place, why is she crying so much, and such and such. Of course, that's a different issue, but they cannot come back to inform us. At this point, the purest people who have lived in this world, like Muhammad and Ali, if they are Muslims, if they are Christians and Jews, real, real faithful Christians and Jews, then others, like Jesus, the big personalities of their religion, appear before their eyes and increase his eagerness. There is now nothing more delightful to him than departure of his soul. As Imam al-Sadiq said, فَمَا شَيْءٌ أَحَبُّ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ إِسْتِلَالِ رُوحِهِ وَاللُّهُوغِ بِالْمُنَادِي. There is nothing more pleasant than just leaving and joining the one who calls him to all those pleasures. And this is the meaning of يَا أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّةِ اِرْجِئِي the munadi إِلَىٰ رَبِّكِ رَاضِيَةً مَرْضِيَةً. O you, the tranquil soul, return to your God. Now, you may say not all of us have tranquil souls, isn't it? Tranquil soul is a very high degree. But in hadith we have that, no, they will make your soul tranquil soul if you are truly mu'min. And then they will call you. Now, death of the impure, that's not none of our business anyhow, but just mention it to complete the discussion. Sometimes you are frightened by this, but we are not frightened at all. Because, as I said, this is nothing to do with us. Don't worry about this. As long as you are a mu'min, don't worry about this. But I'm sure you don't like to hear what is the plight of these people. Now, for them, death is their most terrifying experience yet. And what will come is even more terrifying. It's most terrifying experience yet. Everyone and everything in that world look hostile to them. Why? Because everyone and everything is pure and they are evil. The angel of death, which reflects their own personality or shakala, appears to them as the most cruel and the most chilling creature. They are filled with sorrow and regret and are overcome by pain in every cell of their bodies. And this is what actually many sayings say, that the pain is felt in every particle and every bit of the body when the soul is being withdrawn. The easiest moment of death here is like being repeatedly slashed by a sword. The easiest moment. أَدْنَى جَذَبَاتِ الْمَوْتِ بِمَنْزِلَةِ مَعَةِ ذَرْبَةٍ بِالسَّيْفِ. This is the translation of this hadith. To be torn apart with scissors, or cut with swords, or crushed with rocks is easier than one of those moments. As I said, do not be terrified by these things. Not for us, inshallah, inshallah. Again, that's the translation of that hadith. And all these are just examples. They go through moments which could not be described by any quality or understood by any worldly intellect or any literature. This is what the hadith says, that inna lil maut laghamaratun hiya afdha min an tustaghraq bi sifa. It's more terrifying and terrible to be described or to be comprehended by the intellects of people of this world. He wants to come back, but is hit from behind, and wants to go forth, but is hit from the fore, because the angels hate him. So he's hit. He wants to go back to this world, they push him. It's not possible. وَلَوْ تَرَى إِذْ يَتَوَفَّى الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا الْمَلَائِكَةِ يَضْرِبُونَ وُجُوهَهُمْ وَأَدْبَارَهُمْ. If you could see when the angels are taking the souls of the kuffar, they hit them in the faces and in their backs. He is now left with a soul which even he himself detests. His heart is filled with sorrow to which there is no end. Why they detest them, their own character even? Because in the hell, we know that they detest themselves. They want to put the blame on others. They know that there is a blame for their character, but they want to put the blame on others. He even cannot call God, because the character is not formed in that way. All his life he has been hostile to God, and therefore even if the angels tell him, and this is what they do actually, the angels tell him, call God, call for help, and he doesn't know how to do it. The soul is not forthcoming for that. The character is not built on that. And of course, these angels, although they look so cruel to him, they try to help him, but he cannot understand. At this moment, the purest of the pure, like Muhammad and Ali, peace be on them, who used to call him to purity, appear to him. However, they do not call him anymore, for it is now the moment of account. So both the pure and the evil will see these people. But for one group, when they see them, they become filled with joy. For another group, they become filled with regret. Their vision adds to his sorrow and increases his regret. And this is again a hadith. Some of them like to repent, but of course, وَلَيْسَتِ التَّوْبَةُ لِلَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السَّيِّئَاتِ حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَ إِذَا حَذَرَ أَحَدَهُمُ الْمَوْتِ قَالَ إِنِّي تُبْتُ الْآنِ. The moment of death is not the moment of repentance. The way to repentance is closed. When is the time for repentance? الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السُّوءَ بِجَهَالَةٍ ثُمَّ يَتُوبُونَ مِنْ قَرِيبٍ. Those who commit evil out of ignorance, then repent promptly. What does promptly mean? What does promptly mean? Before death. Promptly means before death. As long as you live, when you make the tawbah, you have promptly repented. When the moment comes, then it's not possible. And promptly here means before death, means the whole life. Now he wishes to come back and compensate for his neglect, but of course, when they say, let me go back, it's just a word, he is saying it, and it is something which is impossible. His character has now borne its fruits, and no other fruit could be expected from that type of character. Any questions? Yes, please.
When somebody from the family of the Aima, the Masumi died, they obviously see that whoever is dying is going to a better place and all that. And why is it that you find that the one that I think it's really touching is when Imam Hassan died and what Imam Hussein said when he died? He was trying so much, and he was saying that I will not even put perfume or oil ever in my hair again,
mm-hmm.
because he was so sad.
Yes.
Why so much sadness when people see his hair is yes.
Well, of course, the sadness was for losing his brother's company. Not, of course, for his brother, certainly. He knew where his brother was going, is for losing the company, because they were so intimate, so close to each other. And like Prophet and Amirul Mu'minin alayhi salam, peace be on them. I mean, Amirul Mu'minin was so sad, or Fatima al-Zahra, salam alayhi. It was not because they were worried about the Prophet, it was because they had lost that company which was so dear to them. Any other question? Yes, please.
Do you think that as soon as we die, in the grave, when good and the evil will come, how will it be like some people much?
Maybe we do not see them. Maybe. And as I said, for mu'minun, it's not a good news not to see them. For mu'minun, it's good to see them. For kuffar, it's bad to see them. So, depends. As I said, a great majority of people do not see them. They are not questioned. Why? Because they haven't come up to that level to be questioned. You see, whatever we experience in the next world depends on the degree of the growth of our souls. So some souls have not come up to that level, so they don't see anything. But for some, yes, they will come, and we'll talk about these angels. What is their duty? What is their function? Why they come? What's the wisdom behind them? We always think that, I mean, the sort of mindset that people develop usually, and this is because the way we tell these things, is that everything there is to somehow torture us or to put us in a corner or tell us, you did this, you did that, okay, let me calculate. It's not like that. It's all to help, to somehow put us on a path that leads to paradise. They want to help. However, some characters do not accept it. Now, we'll talk about Nakir and Munkar in the next session, inshallah, in full. Full details. Yeah. Yes. They do grow, and especially during the barzakh, because they have to be initiated into barzakh, many of them. That's why they say they are in a sort of a slumber. And gradually they realize what sort of world they are in. At that moment of death, and especially the first night, now the first night of death, or they call it the first night of the grave, is the most amazing night, because that's the night where we are initiated into that world. For those who experience it, it's amazing. Some, this initiation comes later. And therefore, again, it depends how much the soul is developed in this world, how the character is built. And then what comes there is a result of it. And that's why we are so much encouraged to do things which develop our soul. The characters, qualities like generosity, honesty, appreciation, gratefulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the things which make the soul grow. And when it grows, then it's very familiar with the world of angels. Otherwise, it takes time. And that time, of course, what happens during that time, inshallah, we'll discuss. Yes. No, they are allowed to go in dreams, like Inception. They are allowed to go in dreams, but not in the... They cannot come to the real life.
Okay, so
because the world, the realm of dream is actually the realm of Mithal. There's a connection between Alam al-Mithal and our dream. So they can communicate through that. Yeah. Any other question? Okay, inshallah, see you next week with...